mojobreak.com.
Hey, y'all, this is Gary Payton. Hey, mojobreak.com, they just came up.
Pack Rippers and Sports Nuts, welcome to the mojobreak.com sports card podcast, episode 15, like Crabtree, we're divas.
Crabtree? Wait, who was that in the intro?
That was GP.
Gary Payton?
Gary Payton, the glove.
The glove.
Yes. He actually chased us down and said, I really want to be on the podcast, and how can I be a part of mojobreak.com?
Yeah, I mean, did he actually just drop the name?
I think so.
Wow.
Or it's the beauty of Adobe Audition.
How'd you get that to go down?
Gary's just a nice dude, and told him how much I liked Sonics.
Nice.
Yeah, and Detlef Schrempf and Sean Kemp. And
not the Thunder.
Not the Thunder. The Thunder who?
Yeah.
It's not even a real team. It's all about the Supersonics.
It's all about the Sean Kemp. Hell yeah.
But this episode, we got some exciting stuff. We're at the Summit. We're live in this beautiful room at the top of the suite of the MGM Grand.
Yeah.
Not really.
No, I think we're at the Orleans.
Oh, okay.
Yes. And it's pretty classy.
It is pretty classy.
Kind of mid-70s vibe to it.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. I would. They should have some shag carpet to go along with some of the furniture that's in this
sick
room. But you know, we're not going to complain because all you need is a bed, really, when it comes to Vegas. So, but we got some great stuff we're going to talk about. We've never had guests before on the Mojo Break podcast, and we went all out. We have three guest interviews.
We've been just collaborating like crazy.
Yeah, it's great down here at the Summit. There's so many industry people making connections, handing out business cards, shaking hands, smacking babies around.
No, it's it's slapping backs and kissing babies.
Well, I was halfway right on that one, but no, we're excited. We got Jason Howarth from Panini. He's the VP of marketing. He's going to talk about Panini stuff and what they got going on. A little bit about his background. A little bit about advertising. USA Baseball.
USA Baseball.
Yes, and we also got Ryan Siddards from SportsCardRadio.com and Tracy Hackler.
Some cool dudes right there.
Awesome dudes. And you know, we had a great time at the Summit. We met a lot of people. We got our face in front of their face, you know.
Weird way to describe what was going on, down.
Like inches away from their face.
I was just right up in their grill.
Like having awkward conversations where I'm like nose to nose.
You're just in their, you know, their own space. Awkwardly in their own space.
No, not really. I mean, we came to the Orleans and we, you know, learned a lot of stuff. We're going to go over that in the podcast. We're going to do some news. We're going to do a short news segment because we got all the interviews today. And stay tuned for the end of the podcast because Panini was super generous. They gave us some free stuff from the Summit. I'm not going to give it away, but it's pretty mind-blowing stuff.
It's pretty killer.
So it is, we're not talking about like a pack of adrenaline or
No, it's what I like to consider top shelf.
Yeah.
It's top shelf.
It's kind of like they're going to give you a bottle of Cavassier or Dom Perignon of the card industry.
Dom P.
So stay tuned after the interviews, and you're going to see how you can get involved and get the free stuff. So
wait, did you just say free?
Yes. Gratis. Oh, free 99.
Free.
Yeah. And all you got to do is be signed up for our mailing list. So, but we'll give you details. Like I said, we're going to tease you into it. We're going to make you listen to this whole podcast. So, you know, you can probably fast forward with modern technology and, you know, get to that part. But Peyton Manning. It's the topic of all conversations lately.
Did he go to the Niners?
No.
I haven't been paying attention.
No, he didn't go to the
Niners. Oh, he didn't. Who'd the Niners get? I know a little off topic, but I just want to... Did they sign Josh Johnson?
No, Bernie Kosar, I think.
Bernie Kosar?
Yeah, bringing him back.
Did they give Alex Smith, did he go to the Dolphins?
Almost. I think it was very clever that they had the same agent, and both of them got paid.
Yeah, well,
got paid.
I think you're avoiding the question. So Alex Smith pretty much went back to the 49ers.
Alex Smith, yep, another 3-year tenure for the former first overall pick.
Man, they should have signed him to an extension right now. Three more on top of that. Well, you know, just retire his number.
They should do what the Titans were going to do for Manning, do a lifetime contract.
Absolutely, and just put Alex Smith in the ring of fame right now. Just throw that number 11 jersey up there right next to the likes of Montana and Rice.
Wow. Well, it's number one twice.
Yeah.
That's what it is his number.
Or if you add it together, it's two.
And that's the amount of touchdowns he had a couple years ago for the whole season. But Manning goes to Denver. I honestly did not think they were going to do this with Tebow. Obviously, Tebow is not Manning, but Tebow won games. Tebow won games, and from a hobby standpoint, Tebow was a top five guy in football to collect.
You wouldn't even like Tebow if he wasn't on you. If he didn't single handedly win you a fantasy championship, you'd be like, who cares? Tebow sucks.
Well, that adds to it.
But you love him,
and he's left handed.
I got a soft spot
in my heart.
Maybe he would throw better if he tried right handed. That's the problem. Maybe he's a righty.
You just never figured it out.
Yeah,
but. He goes to the Jets, which is crazy because the Sanchez, I mean, they're talking about the rumor before they signed him or traded for him, which I think they only gave up a fourth-round pick, which is ridiculous.
They got a deal.
They went to the dollar store, and Tebow was sitting there and
yep.
For a fourth-round pick. I mean, he won games, but they're thinking about doing a wildcat formation with him and the Sanchez.
Or turn him into a receiver.
Or
tight end.
Punter.
Fullback.
Preacher.
Long snapper.
Well, he's bringing... Jesus is coming to New York, so, you know, who knows? Maybe that's a little bump that the Jets need to get over the hump, make a Super Bowl, you know, bring back those Joe Namath days.
Or light a fire under Sanchez's ass.
Well, you know, you heard me complain about Sanchez in a couple podcasts ago. I think the guy flat out sucks balls.
Yeah, we disagree on that. I don't think he's that bad.
I don't think he has a noodle for an arm, and... I don't think his head's in the game. I don't think he's can articulate a playbook.
No, I think you're dead wrong. I think if he has the right weapons, and I know he's had guys, but guys who want to play.
The guys just they want to hang out in the bleachers.
No,
eat hot dogs.
I mean, come on. You're telling me that Plexico and Santonio Holmes just went all out every down.
Yeah. Well, he. Dude, Plexico shot himself in the leg. He's just happy he's alive still.
Yeah.
And we had a bleeder. But it's going to be an interesting dynamic. And it was funny because we had a buddy that came up, or he's from Vegas, and about 5 or 6 years ago when Vic and Schaub were on Atlanta, you have one guy who's fast and can run the ball, and you have one guy that can actually throw the ball. And having two quarterbacks on the field at some time is... I think kind of a modern age of playing football, and it really keeps people on their toes. So that might create some kind of problems with defenses on how are we going to cover two quarterbacks. I mean, how are we going to line up our defense? Are we going to go to one? So it's going to be interesting. Or it could just flat out, they could be 0-16 too. So who knows?
Well, I mean, offensive coordinators are pretty hip to play calling. If it really would work, I think they would be doing it.
So yeah.
there's something about it just doesn't seem right.
Well, two mediocre quarterbacks don't make one Peyton Manning. So, I mean, at the end of the day, they have two middle-of-the-pack quarterbacks now. And Tebow, you would argue, is maybe top bottom five of the pack.
I think Tebow, with some grooming, could be a really good quarterback. I don't think he's ready. And I think last year he kind of had the lightning in the bottle. And you know, I mean, it's...
You mean he went in there in a roulette table and bet on one number and it hit a couple times? Is that what you're trying to say, or...
Okay, yeah, maybe.
Put it in layman's, maybe. Got lucky.
Yeah.
On the Vegas theme that we're talking
about. Yeah, I think he just needs a little bit more seasoning. But I will tell you, signing him will make Sanchez a better quarterback.
Yeah.
There's competition. And as soon as Sanchez basically has a bad game... Everybody's going to be screaming for Tebow.
Yeah, yeah. Do you think there's going to be a little bit more religious presence in New York now?
I don't know.
Put you on the spot on that one. I don't know. Yeah. You know.
You like that answer?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we had somebody here at the summit that wanted Tebow on the Saints because they need a good Christian on the Saints.
Good Christian influence.
So it speaks to volumes. You know, I'm on neither side of that whole conversation, but you know, it speaks, you know, who knows? Who knows? Maybe luck is on his side.
I don't talk religion on our podcast.
No, that's we're gonna
I think we've already gone.
Well, my religion is cards.
Yeah.
The hobby.
Yep.
So I pray to the hobby gods.
Busting foil, busting wax.
So what do you think about this breaking news? I think this shocked everybody. I mean, we knew there was going to be some kind of penalties for Bounty Gate, but Sean Payton, out for a year, suspended, no pay, crazy.
That's, and they lost 2 second-round picks.
Wow.
I don't know, man, that's rough. That is, I think that's a little extreme.
It's very extreme. I mean, poor Sean Payton, the guy freaking broke his leg last year, you know, comes into the Niners and just gets destroyed, and yeah. And now he's not going to coach for 1 year. What do you think this puts the Saints? I mean, they obviously have talent. Well, Drew Brees isn't even signed either.
Drew Brees hasn't signed the franchise tag
yet.
He will. Drew Brees is not going to hold out. He'll be well. He may hold out now that his coach isn't going to be there, but. Well, I mean, we'll see. It's, you know, I mean, the system's in place.
The system is in place.
So.
And who's to say he can't, you know, I mean, he obviously can't call during the game, but yeah. He could still be involved via cell phone or whatever.
Well, I wonder if he can be in the facility, like the team facility.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he just can't be, like, anywhere near the stadium while the game's on. So I don't know the logistics of that. That might be something to find out as well. Getting on to some hobby news, Topps bringing 5-star to baseball.
That's going to be sexy.
Yeah. I mean, I think Triple Threads is one of the high-end sets that Topps has. And, you know, there's not a whole lot of really high-end sets for baseball like that. So
yeah.
I think we definitely have room for another.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of uncharted territory because if it's anything like football, it's actually a little pricier than Triple Threads.
Right. But there's a lot more a sex appeal, for lack of a better word. You got... So it looks like it's going to be $400 suggested retail price, 4 on-card autographs and 1 jumbo relic in the same like football. So it's going to be, they haven't had much details on it yet, but I'm sure we're going to start seeing some freaking ridiculous pictures of cards.
Oh yeah, I mean that, like you said, I think in the way of the market right now, there is absolutely room. There's a lot more higher end football products than there are baseball products for whatever reason. This is going to fit well.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
And it's still a little pricey. Very, very niche market.
Yeah.
Real pricey. But we'll see. There's definitely a, like I said, an opening.
But this is a great product for people that do group breaks. I mean, I don't really know anybody that does group breaks, but if you know of anybody, it'd be a great product for them. But it's all killer, no filler, which I've heard some people say before. It's got a lot of hits in the product, and you can get a spot for a fraction of a $500 box. So it's a very good product to think about getting into a group break.
I thought you were going to throw out another one of your one little catchphrases.
I've never used that.
All killer, no filler. I was about ready, waiting for you to go 6 to midnight.
I've never said those words in my life.
Boner hit?
I've never said that. I don't know what you're talking about. If you have proof, show me.
And I don't know where you get the boner hit one. You're basically trying to say bonus hit, but you say boner hit.
Well, it's kind of like if you get something extra, you pop a little chub.
Yeah. You know?
It's kind of like an extra hit. It's kind of like being at the summit and getting free cards.
Yeah.
Bench warmer girls.
Yeah.
Carmen Electra.
Yeah.
We'll get into that in the next segment, but. Animal Kingdom cards challenge hobby trends. Upper Deck, which I'm not a huge fan of lately, is got some cards out here with, I'm just kidding, I like Upper Deck, has some patch cards of animals, and I don't know exactly where
real
they're
real animals?
Yeah.
Like kittens and...
Well, yeah, you open the box, and if it's a cat, it might just jump out and scratch your face.
Dude, that'd be sick.
But, you know, the one-on-one skunk card you want to stay away from because you might ruin your day.
Yeah.
But it sells on the eBay for a lot, so.
Getting back to Carmen Electra real quick.
Yes.
When I got her auto, eyes met, sparks flew, emotions ran high, and she didn't talk to me.
You were on a level, right?
No, we were like...
And that's your catchphrase. You're just bringing it back.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I kind of stole that from a movie, I think.
What was it, Dumb and Dumber?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep, absolutely.
It's a good movie. It's a good flick. Go ahead and rent that one.
Yeah, it was...
Everybody in the world's already seen it, I'm sure, so...
Yeah, it was getting pretty intense with me and Carmen.
Yeah.
We sat down, we talked about Dave. We're all... Dave Navarro.
Oh, yeah.
First name basis.
Yeah.
We didn't at all.
Line, but you could dream.
Line was moving real quick.
That would be a boner hit.
That Dave Navarro?
Yeah.
Wow.
Carmen Electra, man. Carmen Electra. What was she? She was on Singled Out, right?
Yeah. She's been on a lot of...
I mean, she's
things.
Mainly known for her hotness, but what else big was she on?
Big?
Well, you know. I think she did some swimsuit photos or something.
Yeah, she's was she on Baywatch at one point?
Yeah, I think
yeah,
so.
That's yeah, that's breaking it down. I really just kind of guessed on that one.
So, yeah, basically there's animal cards. They're going to be like, it looks like, you know, something from a shirt or something. It's like a stitched picture of a card of a... This one is a California condor, and I guess it's going to be in Goodwin. So it's another addition to Goodwin, and they're trying something new, I guess. So that's kind of cool. 2011 Goodwin. They also had on display some really cool-looking bug cards at the summit, which was
cool.
Those were
pretty awesome.
But, you know, Upper Deck does...
Cards were huge, too.
They were huge. I think they are...
I don't know how they get those in the pack.
They fold them.
Yeah.
They fold them up.
Because, dude, I know they're redemptions.
Yeah. Black Rhino, check that out.
Dude. Things fierce.
Looks like me with my shirt off. Yeah, some of these cards they said have sold for over $700. So Goodwin Champions is kind of a niche product. It's kind of like Ginter, but with some weirder stuff.
Weirder,
if that's a
weirder
word. Yeah. And that's all I got to say about that.
What's that?
It's a lemur. Red ruffed lemur.
Yeah.
And I also wanted to talk about Panini landing the USA baseball license, which is super exciting.
Exclusive rights to the USA.
Listen to an interview later and you'll understand what we're talking about. But, you know, Topps had that license for years and we were surprised, you know, that it happened. It's a good thing for Panini. I just hopefully at some point they're going to get the full-on license and let's challenge these guys.
Absolutely.
Yeah, let's challenge these guys and I think it'll be better for everybody.
Football. I mean, just look at the products.
Yeah.
I think Topps basically stepped up their game because Panini stepped up their game.
Absolutely.
And competition always, and we say it all the time, competition always makes it better for the end consumer.
Yeah, people are still going to, if Panini and Topps release the same amount of baseball products, I don't think Topps is going to sell less baseball product.
Yeah.
I think it's going to equal out and there's going to be more people buying stuff. It's an ADD hobby, like we say. And frankly, I mean, there is a lot of football releases. I talked about it in the last podcast. There's a ton of football releases coming out, but I think it's baseball. There's not enough. There's not enough releases. There's a lot of prospects. There's a lot of veterans and legends, and baseball cards are the staple of this whole industry. Baseball cards are the reason the summit is here.
It's a fine line, though. You don't want to water it down too much.
You don't.
So, you know... I think there's enough releases.
There is.
From one company.
Yeah.
But I absolutely think there's room for another company to challenge them.
Yes, yeah.
And come out with basically the same amount of, like, releases. Not, yeah, I mean, that's how I'm rolling with it.
Yeah, no, I think it's great, and I did want to, one thing I didn't ask Packler and Howarth was, and they probably wouldn't have been able to answer it anyway, but what's the monetary value on an MLB license? Like, what is Topps paying for
this? It's anywhere between $5 and $5 billion.
Oh, wow. You're very accurate.
Yeah, well, I'm dead on.
What if it's $6 billion? You just egg on your face.
No, there's no way. There's not a dime over $5
billion. It could be a trillion.
And I said billion, not million.
Billion?
Billion.
1 billion. And the preview that they have is a guy named Cole Irvin, USA team. But what this license also allows them to do is go in the past.
And get the Harpinator?
The Harpinator. The newly set down to AAA Harpinator.
Just for a little bit of seasoning.
You know, and not to go off on a tangent, which we do all the time, but he said, I hope this is the last time I get sent down.
Yeah.
So that's...
I think any player who gets sent down to the minors is probably thinking the same thing.
I would actually just want to keep going lower.
Yeah. Hopefully next week I can... Single A, rookie ball. I know I'm 38, but I can do rookie ball.
T-ball? Just go all the way backwards? You know, Bryce Harper hitting off a tee like the 7-year-olds
would never be playing? I hope this is the last time I get sent down. I think players get sent down and are like, well, I'm down with like 4, maybe 6 more times getting sent down.
Like, you know, maybe half a season.
I'd like
to hang out.
I like riding on buses instead of chartered airplanes.
I like the bar in Stockton.
Yeah.
Can I go down to the ports and hang out for a couple months?
There you go.
You know, that'd be kind of cool. No, not really. But so yeah, the USA baseball is exciting. They also got the MLBPA license for the National Baseball Hall of Fame, which is cool. So they're allowed to throw in old school players. There's all kinds of cool products coming out from Panini for baseball from what they're limited to without a license.
And what they were talking about, I mean, didn't they? They were talking about Jameson Taillon.
Yeah.
They were talking about...
anybody in USA, which is a lot of the top prospects that are out right now.
Doug's boy, Albert Amora.
Albert Amora, the guy at PC. There's Mark Appel, who's coming out, who's going to be the first overall pick projected. So there's a lot of cool stuff. So I think we're going to start seeing some spike in some non-licensed baseball stuff.
Yep.
And you know what's actually really hot? Talking about non-licensed stuff, Leaf Metal Draft is scorching right now. I think it was a genius move to have... I mean, football's over, but literally Leaf came out right after it was over, so it's like it's a revolving door.
Yeah.
So now you got these guys with their first autographs. Yes, they're not in, you know... they're not in, you know, uniforms or have their logos on or anything.
They have, but
they're in uniforms.
They have clothes on.
They have clothes on, yeah. It's not bench warmer cards, but... it's cool. It's on card. I think the Trent Richardson I saw on there was selling for like $250.
There you go.
There was RG3. Just I think there was one up to $900.
They're good looking cards too.
They are. And Leafs really seems to be excited about their product line. We talked to Brian Gray for a little while,
yeah.
And he's very stoked on what's coming up for Leaf. And being excited about your products and being involved the way that Leaf is going to get them places.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, that pretty much handles for the hobby news. I wanted to jump in and do some summit coverage on our end. So that's what I wanted to talk about. We'll start off with your take and some of the things that you learned and we can help the hobby and bring forth. Yeah, that just came off the dome.
Yeah. I just had to say it again.
Didn't really fit.
I'm bringing it forth. I learned that, basically, let's just say that this industry, even though it's a niche, it's a tight industry.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody seems to really be working together. Mm-hmm. There's an end goal, and basically the consensus was like, hey, let's like not work against each other. Let's basically all come together and just make it bigger, make it stronger, make it better.
Yep.
And that's basically the consensus I got. I mean, there's some people who... Some of the hobby shops, some of the people who've been doing it a long time, old school mentality, not really quite ready to jump on board yet. But you know what? It's just the tight knit group, and nobody's trying to screw anybody, step over anybody. My thing is Panini's presentation.
Yeah.
I loved it. You know,
let's put a disclaimer, not just because they came on the podcast.
No. And I was telling you even before, right when they got done, I'm like, man, that speaks volumes of that company.
Yeah.
They came out and they're like, you know what? And no excuses. They could have came out with excuses like there was an NBA lockout.
Yeah.
There was an NFL lockout. We had a scramble. Like, we weren't really prepared. Nobody can be prepared.
Which is legitimate reasons.
Which is legitimate reasons. But they basically came out, no excuses, and said, hey, there's some things that happened that we're not proud of.
Right.
And we have come up with a new way of doing things.
More game plans.
More game planning. And we're going to get away from, they're going to try to do less redemptions. even though we realize that the redemptions, and I hope everybody else realizes the redemptions, are not on the manufacturers.
No,
it's basically they're waiting for those cards. They're waiting for those stickers. It's once they send them out to get signed, it's they're at the mercy of the players.
Yeah, yeah.
So I know everybody hates the redemptions. I mean nobody likes redemptions, but you know Panini's making. I think they were doing. They were like, they changed like their game plan for like 4 weeks to like 8 weeks to get it like. Retaining autos.
Yeah, yeah.
So they actually added an extra month in production.
Right. Just so make sure everything goes smooth. But like Dan said, it's guys got families, you know, they're playing sports and some of them are, you know, especially younger guys, it's like they're trying to live their life on the off season and reconnect with their friends and college, you know, teammates and things like that. So it's not a priority to these guys. You know, and that's not necessarily any. They're not saying screw the hobby. It's just I know how it is. I put things on the back burner all the time. So
and getting back to the summit, because I have a couple more things I wanna add.
Yeah, yeah.
Just from my just vantage point, there was some manufacturers that were here that were really just connecting.
Yeah.
With retailers. Media guys, like breakers, like us, and just yeah. like reaching out, wanting to talk, and just like you know, thanking us for like our support of their lines. I would argue, and you, I mean, Topps is probably the number one name in sports cards.
Yes.
Probably, I mean, since forever.
Yes.
I mean, they pretty much are the industry standard.
They are almost the Coke.
Yeah.
Of you know. The industry.
They had some people here.
Yes.
They had a couple events. But all these manufacturers had a booth set up.
Yeah.
And what really surprised me is that the number one manufacturer didn't really have a strong presence.
Yeah, it's like they kind of like
It's like they were like this. Event is not for us, or we don't need this.
Right, right.
Or this isn't going to benefit us.
Who knows the exact reason, but that's how it is come across.
Absolutely. I was really surprised. I mean, we talked about it a little bit. As soon as we walked in, I saw that Topps wasn't in the showroom, and I'm like, you know, it wouldn't have taken a lot for them to send a couple people down and have a couple signage and throw some product out there and
previews. And stuff. I mean,
it was a little weird.
Who knows? Maybe their marketing strategy. They did have the bowling event, which we didn't attend because we were doing other things. So maybe that was how they were gonna, you know, instead of having a booth, they were gonna have some fun.
Yeah, I get it though, and I understand. And they don't get me wrong; they had a presence and they did some great things and some great like presentations. Why not a booth on the showroom floor?
Right, and that was the consensus to a lot of people that we talked to as
well.
Yeah,
I mean, that was
they were
kind
all
of,
shocked.
That was kind of like, you know, we're sitting in the hallways, and it's like kind of the buzz. Like, you know, why isn't Topps?
Yeah, Panini had, what, 8 to 10 guys strong, easily?
Panini had...
I mean, they pretty much had their whole back end. You
I
know,
mean,
their
I, would
whole,
say, I would say their whole, like, upper management
upper
was,
management, yes,
was it, absolutely... and not just like sitting there hanging out, like talking to each other. I mean, engaging.
They were approachable.
They're not only approachable, but they were like engaging conversation.
We talked to the CEO.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, it was remarkable how personable everybody in Panini was.
Yeah, yeah, I think they did a great job. And but yeah, Topps. It's just to me, it seems. Like I said, the reaction of the people that were there was kind of like it was snobby. It's like, you know, we did well. We don't need to be there. We don't need to engage with the local card shops. They're going to buy our products no matter what. It's like they didn't want any ideas on how they can change or make things better.
I mean, it's just to put it in perspective. There's a huge trade show in my other industry, which is basically music instruments, music retail. There's like a million people who show up to that.
But everybody's there.
But it Topps not being here with a booth is like Fender not showing up.
Right. And Fender's been there every year.
And Fender, well, no, Fender is like, yeah, they absolutely. It's a no matter how hard times are, you got to have some kind of presence.
Yeah.
It was a little shocking, and I'm not trying to because Topps did some great things at the seminar.
Yeah.
At the seminars and, like, just overall, like, performance. They did some great things. It just was weird.
Right.
It just didn't make a lot of sense for me.
Right. Yeah. It didn't make a lot of sense to me either. One thing that we noticed this year, and well, we didn't go to next year, so I guess we can't compare it, but there was social media on the event was great. And I think what that does is get our customers involved, people's customers involved, the hobby shops that maybe didn't go involved, and it creates a buzz. You got the new products coming out, the black box, you could see some new designs. You see Trent Richardson being at the summit. You see people getting Carmen Electra signings. I mean, free all over, and previews, and just the industry. You go on blowoutcards.com, the forum, people are talking about it. Twitters are blowing up, Facebook, you know, so these 4 days at the summit just create so much buzz that it speaks volumes to products being sold. And plus, there's distributors there, so hobby shops are ordering stuff, and you know, products getting in order, getting in the card stores. It's just all around. It's a great experience.
And I'd like to just say thank you and give a shout out to Ryan from Sports Card Radio, because he basically was doing some work on Twitter.
Yeah, he was. He
was doing it. Voice of the Collectors was all over it. Cardboard Connection. I mean, those guys went far beyond. I mean, everybody was busy. Everybody's running around, and these guys are finding the time to basically get you minute by minute information about what's going on, and they all did like a hell of a job.
Yeah. Yep. And why I segued into this is because we did see such a kind of separation from the guys that have a local card store and guys like, say, us, Cardboard Connection, Blowout Cards, or an internet-based business.
Yeah.
There was such a big separation, and the event catered to mostly brick-and-mortar local card stores. Well, the majority of the attendees were brick-and-mortar.
Yeah.
Card stores, so that's fine, but there was a little bit of tension from the local card stores when it came to getting updated in media, websites, selling online, which I think it's unavoidable. If you have a local card store, you need a Twitter, you need a Facebook. It's free for all those accounts. You get emails from your customers, say we have a free in-store break or whatever it is to create this kind of buzz. And it just, you have guys that have been doing it for 30 years, and they're happy with the way that they're doing it.
Yeah, I got a sense of a little bit of a struggle, maybe a little bit of a panic, and definitely not accepting it with open arms.
Right.
Kind of trying to push it away, kicking and screaming.
Yeah.
At some point, this is, let's face it, this industry is driven by the internet.
Yes.
Everybody gets all their information online. Most people purchase and sell their cards online. People buy boxes, join case breaks. I mean, I would love to sit down and see the total revenue generated online in this industry and total revenue through brick and mortar stores. I would like to see the comparison. This is basically, this industry is absolutely, I would say, 90% going in the direction of the internet.
Yeah, I think so. I think they are holding on to the local card store as long as possible.
And they should. But those local card stores need to embrace it, because unfortunately, if they don't, they're going to start falling.
Right. Maybe I should rephrase what I just said. The brick and mortar stores are the foundation, but guys like us, guys that do breaks, guys that have the video stuff, it doesn't take away business from the local card store.
No.
What it does is it brings actually people into the local card store.
You can basically work it and monetize everybody who's doing this, basically free advertising for you.
Yeah.
When we put up a case break, that gets views. That gets people interested. They might have a local card shop that's a mile away from their house, and they're just like, oh, that product's awesome, I'm going to go there. If that video didn't exist, they may not be going there.
Well, yeah, you could be, you know, sitting in your underwear, watching The View, and then all of a sudden you jump on YouTube, and you're like, I want to see a box being broken. I want to see the new Heritage stuff. Oh, wow, that's in there? I'm going to drive 5 miles down the street.
I'm going to put some pants on.
Well, probably. Yeah. You don't want to be selling hot dogs.
Probably not.
You know, I mean, that's...
Most states you can get arrested for that.
Yeah, probably wouldn't want to lock them. You could have the hot dog mojo, though.
Hot dog mojo?
Walk in the store in your underwear and, you know, cheese poofs on your chest or something. I don't know. Memories of Arizona from a couple years ago, but walk in there and you saw the video, so now you're going to drive down to Joe Blow's card store and buy a box of Heritage because you saw something sweet on a YouTube video. So it's something that these and you don't want to order off the internet because it's going to take 4 or 5 days.
No, you want it now.
Right. And what some of these guys are doing, like the Hobby Box, which Chris is from Cards Infinity, is a super cool dude, and guys like Klaus Achara, another guys that we met, the super cool dude, they have local card stores, and they offer it to break on video. So now you're not only expanding your 50-mile radius of just people that are in the area, you're getting people from all over the United States that want the instant gratification of buying a box and seeing it broken within that day.
Those are two examples of businesses that are monetizing on the internet.
Correct.
Taking it to the net, like embracing it.
Yes.
And not fighting it.
Right.
And those are why those companies will absolutely thrive.
Yeah.
And stay strong. Because they don't fear change. They're willing to embrace it.
I mean, you could do it on such a small level. I mean, all you need is a computer, a video camera. And if you wanted to even do live streaming, you can get a freaking webcam. If you don't have one already built into your computer, you can get a webcam for $30-$40. You can probably even go on eBay and find one better for that.
The Klaus and Chara guy.
Yeah.
Those guys. You talked about it. Genius idea.
Yeah. Just having a live feed in the store.
Having a live feed in the store, and you're open for business.
Yeah, but you're there anyway.
It's like having a live feed is like having a second storefront.
Right.
I mean, why wouldn't you do it?
Right. And then, you know, so you got people coming in buying boxes, and then you have, you know, that their room is open between business hours.
Why not have one on Ustream? Why not have one on Blog TV?
Right.
I mean,
yeah, just, you know, so people can, and you can get the name out there by doing free promos and just getting people involved, getting emails and stuff like that, and say, hey, I'm going to have this streaming. You're in Texas and I'm in New York. My shop is in New York, but you don't have any product in Texas. Come join my Blog TV room, and I got, you know, whatever I have. I might even want to liquidate something.
Yeah.
You know, you come in the room and say I've been sitting on 10 boxes of certified. Hey, I'll sell you certified for $60.
Yeah, absolutely.
As long as map pricing's gone, but, yeah. You know. So it's something that these guys, I mean, there's probably, you can watch YouTube videos on how to learn how to use the internet. I think that's what's so hard for people that have local card stores. They're a little bit older, and they didn't grow up with computers. So the learning curve, and I think a lot of people are scared.
Well, and I think that when a lot of these stores started, it was basically the boom. I mean, it was like
89 Upper Deck.
Yeah, it was like the late 80s, early 90s, when like people were like, man, these cards are going to be worth a lot of money. It's a good investment. And there's people like lying out the door waiting to buy
right. This
stuff.
Absolutely.
No advertising needed, nothing. I mean, it was just like, as long as you had the product to sell, you were going to do good.
Yeah.
There was no effort. Now it's different. It's 100% different. It took a 180, and now it's, you gotta be a little bit more competitive. You have to basically brand yourself and basically show your customer, this is why I do it this way. This is why you want to go with me.
Right.
You can't just sit there in your shop for 8 hours complaining that nobody's coming in.
Right. Or complaining that people are selling boxes on eBay for
yeah, I mean,
$50 less than your market price.
Yeah, basically what you do at that point is try to figure out a way that you can be competitive or set yourself apart.
Right. Yeah, you got to be unique. There's like, you know, I don't even know how many figures of card stores there are out there or websites that are out there. What can you do to be different? You know, and that's the bottom line. But that's why we have this, that's why the summit is so prevalent, because we can share these ideas with people, and some people don't want to hear it, but some people are there for just the free stuff or the bench warmer girls. I mean, that would almost drive me down there.
Yeah.
Free autographs and stuff. But, yeah, you know, just to get on a more positive level and everything, I mean, the whole podcast is positive, but there was so much just to take in for everybody and all the free stuff. It does cost to come to the summit. I think it's $400 a person.
Something like that.
So, but you get the black box, which is a one-on-one, you know.
Well, I don't think it's, you might want to rephrase that, because it's not, you can't just go on some website and purchase you have to be associated with the industry.
No, I think you can be as an attendee, though. I don't know how many they limit. So, yeah, Dan, disclaimer, we're not sure, but I'm just saying, if you're a local card store, if you are, you know, maybe just starting out and you're kind of curious about the summit.
Yeah, because I didn't see anybody in there who
was a Joe collector.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
But, don't get me wrong, like, there's everybody in there is probably somewhat of a collector, but it wasn't. They were representing somebody in the industry.
Yeah, or you could just start a blog and probably come.
Yeah.
You could start a sports card blog and come, but yeah, you just can't be as like, I'm going to be a collector. But there's a lot of free stuff, which actually, if you turn around and flip it on eBay, it pays for part of your trip, plus your free drinks and stuff. I mean, it's definitely a reason, and Vegas is enticing. So,
no, why not?
But, you know, we're going to get into this break. We're going to hit play a song for you, nice little rockin' song. But I also wanted to talk about MojoBreak.com, the sponsor. Cool dudes. They're
okay dudes.
They're decent. Sometimes they can be dicks.
A little bit.
Yeah, assholes. But came up. But check out Mojo. Shoot. Check out MojoBreak.com. We got some stuff that we just put up. Playbook, Panini Playbook is an awesome looking set. There's a book card in every box. Four hits, very similar to the Preferred Basketball set. So lots of high end jersey autos.
There's some exciting things coming up here.
Yeah,
I'm not mistaken, we're like about a week away from National Treasures.
We are, and there's still some spots, and we may have some more boxes coming.
Get excited, because that is going to be. It always is the cream of the crop.
And National Treasures is another thing they brought up at the summit. Here's a 36-piece book card.
We knew that.
Yeah.
But I don't think our listeners, they may not have known that.
There's a 36. I don't know how they're going to package this thing up. It's got to be a redemption.
I hope so. Because you'd be able to tell right away. but it's going to include all the guys from the rookie premiere.
Right.
And there's five of them.
Yes. Yeah, so it's super valuable. Might be. Like,
I don't know. I don't know how we're gonna get a top loader for it. We have. We're trying to think. We're trying to figure it out. Don't know if we're gonna pull one. Hopefully, we do.
That would be awesome.
That would be awesome. And then Doug and I will try to figure out how to keep it safe.
Yeah, and then we're also gonna be throwing up, probably maybe by the time you listen to this, Museum Collection Baseball from Topps. Exciting, another high end set.
I remember the Museum Collection. Insert autos out of
They're
marquee, so
amazing looking.
If it's going to be anything like that, get excited about that.
There's still Prime Cuts Baseball, which, I mean, look at some of the previews on it. You can go on our site and see the breakdown. But there's some legends like Frank Thomas signed. I mean, there's, even though they don't have the license, they have the Hall of Fame license now, so they put in all kinds of good stuff in there. Cut autos.
That right there, I think, is going to be the beginning of Panini starting to be a real player in the baseball.
In the baseball. They're going to start getting noticed.
Yeah. I think that's going to be it right there. And I think they moved it back a little bit.
Yeah.
And you know what? If you're going to move it back, let's make it strong.
Yep. Well, and just check out the site. There's always breaks being put up on there. We're going to do the blog and... once again, listen after the interviews, because we're going to tell you about the free stuff coming from Panini. So it's exciting stuff. Also, if you want to purchase on MojoBreak.com, 15% off, type in Mojo March.
Mojo March.
15%
off.
And
I'm guaranteeing in that free promo that we're doing, there's going to be some rare autos.
Yes.
Some stuff that is, and some stuff that you probably can't buy.
Maybe a 101 too.
Maybe a 101.
Yeah, stuff that's, let's just say it's stuff from the summit.
Yeah, you can't go and buy this.
So listen in on how you can get in. So, but we'll be back after this jam.
Okay, so we're here at the Summit with Jason Howarth, VP of Marketing of Panini America. How you doing, Jason?
Excellent, excellent. How are you guys doing?
We're doing
great,
awesome.
Doing great.
So tell us a little bit about your background, how you got into collecting, and how you got in the business.
I started collecting when I was a kid. Obviously not Panini because they were over in Italy, but right. I won't mention those other card companies because I don't work for them and right. I don't collect them anymore.
Right, right.
But I worked for an ad agency in Boston, and Panini was one of my clients, and they hired me to move down to Texas and become their VP of marketing about a year and a half ago.
Awesome, cool. Awesome. How's the experience been so far?
It's been phenomenal. I mean, it's really exciting for Panini. You know, they've been in the U.S. marketplace for about 3 years.
Yeah.
Started out with, you know, people not even knowing who they were. Mm-hmm. You know, exclusive trading card of the NBA, and, you know, that's evolved into the NFL and the NFL Players Association, the NHL and NHLPA, and right. Major League Baseball Players Association as well. And so
absolutely.
We just continue to grow, and we're really excited about where we are, only 3 years in to the U.S. market and doing a lot of different things, fun things with getting more collectors involved and bringing more people into the category.
Definitely, definitely. And that's what we like. I mean, you guys obviously have a presence here at the Summit, and it sounds like you really care to better yourself as a company, which speaks volumes of businesses. I mean, some other companies don't have quite of a presence here, and it just seems like maybe they don't care what people that support them may or may not, you know, be concerned about. And us as a business and other people as a business, I think it's important to take your customers' comments.
And just being absolutely honest. I mean, you guys just came out. You guys were honest with everybody who was here at the show with your guys' presentation. Said, hey, you know, we're not where we want to be, and there's definitely room for improvement. And that's how we run our business as well. Yeah. So, I mean, that speaks volumes, just the flat-out honesty.
Well, and, you know, I mean, it's part of the heritage of, you know, of Panini. We've been in business for 50 years. We've been in the U.S. market for 3. Mm-hmm. So we've got a lot of heritage to rely on, and I think Mark brought up, our CEO yesterday in our presentation, brought up a great point. You know, our first 18 months in the U.S. marketplace was about growth.
Right.
And putting in those pieces of the puzzle into place.
Right.
The next 18 months to 2 years are going to be focused on, you know, refining, building the best product that, you know, is what Panini is all about. And so that's our goal. I mean, we've got a global vision, you know, for this marketplace. It's not just short-sighted related to one sport, you know, one product. It's a global vision on how do we get more people involved in the category.
Also, let's talk a little bit about you guys are exclusive for USA.
Absolutely. USA. I think a lot of people
baseball.
USA yeah. baseball.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry.
I knew where you were going. yeah. I knew where you were going.
United States as a whole, you're just totally yeah. exclusive to yeah.
multitasking. I'm looking at this, making sure the levels are okay.
Dan, you're absolutely right. Panini is exclusive to the USA. Mm-hmm. No one else. You don't need to buy anything else because we're exclusive to the
exclusive.
USA.
Exclusive. Yeah.
Breaking news, all the other car companies just shut down. No, I'm just kidding.
No. That was a great
right
point.
Now.
I mean, and we love to do it on Mojo Break. Just break stuff like that all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. We will. Absolutely.
Yeah, but that's how we kicked off our presentation yesterday. I mean, we wanted to bring some excitement to the category and let people know how invested we are in the, you know, in this space. And, you know, what better way to, you know, to come out and get the COO of USA Baseball to stand up there and talk about how excited he is to be working with us over the next 4 years in terms of, you know, infusing that excitement that existed for USA Baseball when I think you and I were kids. I remember that Mark McGuire card.
Yeah, it's like 84, 85.
Yeah, that's definitely
like
an
that.
Iconic card.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we're really excited about the opportunity we have for USA Baseball, both, you know, working directly with USA Baseball to build a great product for them, but also to really strengthen our MLB Players Association license. And I mean, I think Dave Perkins yesterday talked about the idea of, you know, getting Bryce Harper before Bryce Harper is even Bryce Harper.
Right. I was going to bring up that name. That one guy is kind of hot, maybe prospect.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like Bryce Harper.
Number 34,
we're excited to, you know, not necessarily, you know, Bryce is Bryce. That's great.
Yeah.
You know, and we'll feature him in our product. But, you know, we're looking for the next Bryce, and we're looking for those guys that are, you know, that people are just starting to get a sense of.
Right. And a lot of times that's I mean, look at all the guys who play for the USA team.
Yeah, I mean, Jameson Taliani played for the US team. Didn't
yeah,
he?
Strasburg. Who's going to be in Panini products coming up as well.
And so the other thing that I'll highlight, you know, we talked about USA Baseball, but, you know, Panini's got this larger vision in terms of, you know, we want to be the best in the category as it relates to the North American market. Mm-hmm. You know, the same way we're, you know, people expect us to be the best in the category from a global perspective. And so, you know, we've got, you know, the exclusive rights to USA women's soccer.
Nice.
We've got the exclusive rights to USA basketball, who I think are going to win a gold medal, probably with at least two of our Panini Authentic exclusive athletes and Kobe and Kevin Durant. So,
yeah.
I mean, we're excited for those opportunities that are just coming around the corner for
absolutely.
Us.
Absolutely.
Such an exciting deal. I'm stoked. I can't wait to see it.
Well, the anticipation of basketball because of the lockout and everybody's hungry for the product. I mean, we've seen the buzz of Preferred. We did some Preferred and everybody couldn't wait for it, you know, as well as your Hoops product.
Yeah.
But I wanted to ask, start talking about mainstream media. We always talk about it and none of the car companies, and I don't know if it's just monetary standpoint, but as far as like television ads, we were just thinking, you know, maybe you're watching Sports Center or you're watching college baseball, and then up pops, hey, there's autographs out there. Hey, there's jerseys out there.
Yeah.
It seems like my friends, I tell them about cards and then I show them and they're like, oh my God, you know, it just doesn't seem like it's kind of gotten out there as well as it should on more mainstream. Is that just maybe a monetary standpoint, or you guys, you know, what's the?
No, I think you know we've looked at, you know, where it makes the most sense, and to your point, the best way to get people excited is to put a pack in their hands.
Right.
You know, nothing changes from that, you know, from that hardcore collector to that guy that was collecting when he was 6 or 7 years old. You give him a pack of cards, he puts it in his hands and his eyes automatically light up, and they're waiting to see what they won in the lottery.
Yeah.
And we'd rather spend and invest our time in terms of getting the product directly into the hands rather than a 30-second spot that might run, you know, and someone then has to go figure out where they're going to go to get the product.
Right.
That
makes sense. And that's true. And it's not tangible when it's on TV
exactly.
as well.
Exactly. And so I think that that's really kind of the way we've approached our marketing efforts. You know, for right now, I think if there's an opportunity down the road from a mass perspective, then, you know, that's certainly something we're willing to explore. But, you know, our goal is to get the product into the hands. So, and that's really what we think about every day.
Definitely. You guys have an active presence on social media as well. So, I mean, you guys hit up people on their Twitter, Facebook,
absolutely.
All that stuff.
It's,
and, I mean, that's a relatively inexpensive way of marketing. And think about all the people that you get to. So,
yeah,
I
and mean, it's not even the matter of inexpensive. It's, you know, we look at it as a way to engage the community. And, you know, really, I mean, you're hearing stuff in real time, what people are thinking.
Right.
Before I go to bed at night, I'm looking at my Twitter account. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at Panini's Twitter account.
Right.
To see what people are saying. You know, I wake up in the morning. You know, I hit the snooze button. I shut it off. I get on Twitter. I look to see what people are saying about, you know.
Right. Exactly.
Just the world and what's going on in the category.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, it's huge. It's, you know, I think, you know, when you guys get a chance to talk to Tracy, our blog has become just a huge vehicle. It's almost become a forum for the community to talk about our products and, you know, give us feedback, whether we like the feedback or not. We certainly hear it. And I think, you know, that's the one thing I'd want to point out more than anything else from a social media perspective is, you know, we hear you guys. We're watching, we're listening, we're hearing, you know, you might not see something right away, but it's coming down the pipeline because we are hearing that feedback.
Right.
You know, and at the end of the day, you know, we talk about it all the time. You know, we've got a number of people that we have to cater to, you know, from the player perspective, from properties and players associations to the retailers. You know, my focus is about the end consumer, you know.
Right, exactly.
I want to engage the end consumer to get them to come back into shops.
Absolutely.
And, you know, to that point, you know, we were just talking about it. The stuff that you guys are doing and some other people, you know, on the case breaks, that is phenomenal. I mean,
appreciate it.
There's no way that you could ever do that without social media.
Right.
I mean, you're talking about engaging people that, you know, get home from work, They just want to hang out, have a good time. They might not be able to afford to buy a case of National Treasures or even a box of National Treasures.
Right, right.
Now you're getting the opportunity to, you know, throw in your money and see what happens.
Exactly. I mean,
it's better than the lottery.
Yeah,
you're going to win something.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, you do get something.
And speaking of Vegas. So. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Speaking of Vegas, you don't walk away with anything on a blackjack table. So at least with, case breaking or cards, you wind up with base cards. You may not get that Cam Newton autograph, but you're walking away with something.
So. Yeah, and so, I mean, I think that's the next real evolution from a social media perspective. And, you know, we've got our Panini Ultimate case break tonight here.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, bringing it to, you know, the brick and mortar stores and trying to get them to understand, you know, you can engage people that aren't in your store.
Right.
You know, is they're sitting there on their couch watching SportsCenter.
And you never know. Those people could be local, and that could be
absolutely.
That could be bringing people in.
Right.
And, I mean, especially, I mean, case breaks are so exciting. So if you have them in store, I mean, it just gets a buzz. And you know what?
The guy's going to buy probably a box
exactly.
afterwards.
Exactly. You get that little
But, it, but
that
it's
itch,
not just
you know?
It's not just about the in-store experience. It's about, you know, bringing them and making them a part of the community.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
so, you know, everyone talks about, oh, when we were kids, you know, the hobby shop was the community. We got to bring that back, and social media is one of the best ways to, you know, engage that and bring the community back into the shop.
Absolutely,
definitely. Is there anything else you would like to say?
No, I'd like to thank Panini, and I'd like to thank Jason.
Yeah, that was awesome
for joining us and
taking the time out.
I wish a lot of manufacturers would basically take note of what you guys are doing because you guys are doing it the right way.
No comment on that. I'd rather them just sit there on the sidelines and let us continue to beat them over the head.
Yeah
which
absolutely.
Is fine with me.
Yep,
definitely.
What would you do if you had $1 million?
I'll tell you what I'd do, man. Two chicks at the same time, man.
That's it? You had $1 million, you'd do two chicks at the same time?
Damn straight. I always wanted to do that, man. And I think if I were a millionaire, I could hook that up, too, because chicks dig dudes with money.
Well, not all chicks.
Well, the type of chicks that double up on a dude like me do.
Good point.
All right, I'm here with Ryan from Sports Card Radio. How you doing?
Good. How are you guys?
Doing awesome, man.
Killer.
Came up.
who didn't
come up these 3 days?
Yeah, all kinds of free promos here at the Summit Convention in Vegas. It's been an awesome weekend. Some man sodas, some bench warmer girls, some new product.
Little Jack Daniels.
Ooh,
a little bit.
Came up.
Little Wild Wild West.
Yeah, a lot of Wild Wild West over the weekend.
A lot of people don't know what we're talking about, but it's a little, it's a classy little casino that's off the strip.
Definitely classy is the optimal word there.
Upscale.
Oh, yeah. Rivals the Bellagio and the Aria, but for sure.
Yeah, Google Map it.
They got
impressed.
They got a 5-star hot dog stand.
And Ryan was putting his money on a horse, and he won some bets there as
well.
There
we go. Hey, horse.
So what's the best thing? What have you taken away from the summit that, you know, can help you or collectors? Or?
Oh, gosh. Let's see. One thing that I can take away is that there's probably just a tremendous amount of people who are involved in this from all different angles.
Okay.
And that's kind of what surprises me. It's not just the manufacturers and hobby shops. It's all these other kind of people, and even kind of including myself, who has this website that I don't even sell anything off of. So for me, it's just like there's all these different kind of sub-industries within the big sports card industry, and it's really thriving. Just from coming here last year and seeing it, the numbers definitely were up this year. And I thought some of the presentations, I mean, you're getting to hear from the product developers of Panini, Topps, the micro manufacturers, Leave, historic autographs. I mean, you can go on and bench warmers, just on and on down the line. And to be able to spend quality time with them and actually hear them talk, that's so rare.
Because it seems like they really care. I mean, they're really reaching out to everybody who's in the hobby. Everybody, I mean, manufacturers working with distributors working with companies like us and retail stores. I mean, everybody's just really coming together. It's been pretty amazing.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah, and I mean, talking about the free giveaways, you know, it's definitely enticing. I mean,
for sure.
It does cost money to come to the summit, but with all the free giveaways, you can
at least break even on. I mean, it costs about $400 to come here. I mean, if you don't break even on that $400, then did or something wrong.
He came up.
Came up.
So what are you excited about as far as for this hobby from 2013 and beyond? Well, you know, or the rest of this year and then 2013.
Yeah, you know, the thing was is last year's summit, there was a little bit maybe more of a negative tone. And obviously you guys are well aware of this, living in the United States. The economy just, like, tanked on us. And it just took us several years to kind of get out of that. And last year, I think as an industry, we were still kind of trying to recover from that. Mm-hmm. Whereas this year, I noticed the tone was growth. You know, kind of progressing in terms of the products and spending more money. I mean, I was shocked. Beckett got up there and said they spend $30,000 on Google AdWords every month, and my jaw about hit the floor. I mean, just imagine $30,000 just on advertising on Google. Yes, so we're not even delving into the other things they spend money on.
That's $30,000. That was $30,000 a month.
That's so we're talking about 2 years.
$360,000 a year just with Google AdWords.
That's Google coming up.
Well, that's insane.
Came up.
Yeah, we thought about possibly trying to do some SEO stuff on sports cards, but I don't think we're going to be able to beat up Beckett on that.
Well, they pay for it. See, that's it.
Exactly. Can't get clever.
They pay to get to the top.
Nice. What do you think that could, you know, the industry can do to make sports cards more mainstream and get more people involved?
I think some of the things that were touched upon that I really like is making products more collectible. We're seeing something maybe if you're familiar with, well, let's just talk about the break we had with the Topps Tribute and that Andrew McCutchen card.
Yeah.
What if he just signed Andrew McCutchen 1/1? That card wouldn't have been as worth as much, but it was signed in gold and then he inscribed whatever, first All-Star 2011. That just elevates that card probably another $50 to $100, $200. Who
Absolutely.
Knows?
Yeah,
because of that inscription, because it was 1/1, because it was on gold, because it was on card. And then also let's just heritage real quick. Just some of the air. Yeah,
sorry.
All right, we just lost train of thought because about 40 ice cream sundaes just got rolled by here.
Yeah.
And have you guys eaten today? I haven't had.
No.
We had our box lunch.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's right. But and now a piece of cake is rolling.
Oh,
by.
Look at that cake too.
Yeah. So
this may or may not get edited out, but
yeah, we
tremendous.
Maybe we can give them some cards and they can give us an ice cream over there.
I know.
Those look great.
Yeah, are
those
spoken? Tasty. Are they all spoken for? So we were talking about getting the mainstream involved in it. You don't see TV advertising with the hobby at all, and which is different. But we talked to Panini, and they were saying that they want more tangible things. When you have a TV ad, you don't have anything tangible, so they're trying to do more free giveaways and stuff that. So, tell us a little bit about sportscardradio.com. Everybody probably knows it. It's like one of the number one ranking sites.
Oh, I wish. As well. I wish.
It's the go to site for checklists. I mean, you guys work really hard at keeping it up.
And I
appreciate that. That helps everybody out.
After I get done with this, I'll pay the $100 that I owe both you guys for just saying that right there. So I'll pull out some Chris $100 bills and pay those to you.
Well, we only have 4 listeners normally per podcast, so that's
so $100
each. $25 so now, each. You
okay.
Know?
Well, hey, that was worth it because, you know, your 4 listeners just got a big – I just got a big plug there. So I appreciate that. No, I mean, me and my brother, we just started this website in 2009, and it started as something we did for fun and had no clue that it would ever get to a point where it's basically become my full-time job. That's all I do. That's all I do is work on that website. So, we just do things on it, information, mostly checklists. That's going to take up a majority of the time. And kind of as it relates to these box breaks, you know, a lot of times if you're trying to get in a break, you want to know who's in the set.
Right.
And that information sometimes isn't it depends on the set and depends on the company. That information isn't readily available. Sometimes right when the product goes live, and that's when all the product gets sold, or about 40 to 50% of the product gets sold within that first 3-week time span. It's imperative that a checklist is available during that first few weeks of the release. So that's kind of what me and my brother concentrate on. And we certainly love promoting other people's business and other people's ventures because, that's what's going to make this hobby grow. Me and my brother are never going to be able to conquer the world and dominate the sports card industry. But if we can just help here and there help people grow, whether
and just,
that's...
And just grow with them.
Yeah.
So there's a big enough pie for everybody out there.
Oh, there is. And that's what the summit, I think, kind of symbolizes, is that there's so many businesses, there's so many business models, there's so many people that are actually doing well and actually making money in this business. So I think you can kind of, you know, there's no reason to fight necessarily.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. Absolutely. I hear you there. What's the plans for Sports Card Radio in the future? Are you guys have any new additions? Keep doing what you're doing, obviously, you know, but have you guys had any kind of brainstorming?
This is actually exclusive. I'm actually going to break this right
now. Okay, okay. Literally, we're privileged.
There is probably about three people who know about these kind of plans, but it looks like we might be starting maybe like a kind of an entertainment side and teaming with some of the other good sports card websites out there. And supposedly there might be even a live show of Sports Card Radio available every week.
Nice.
So those are some things that kind of went down actually at the summit.
Nice.
So that's actually literally nobody knows about that. So that's kind of a scoop for you guys. So look for that kind of coming up.
Nice.
Later on this
year. We'll keep the people informed when that breaks too on our side.
Yeah. So
that's
it's kind
awesome.
Of exciting.
Yeah.
It's very cool.
Yeah. That's great. Now, when it comes to the summit, I mean, what did you feel? Did you feel any tension between, like, the internets and the brick-and-mortar stores out there? I mean, it's divided where I think it needs to be kind of intertwined with each other. Like, we have Chris from the Hobby Box that we just talked to, and I'm just surprised that more people don't do what he does and monetize product by doing internet business.
I think it does surprise me when I come here. There was a sports car dealer who said in a presentation, I don't have a smartphone, I don't have a digital camera.
Crazy. I saw that tweet. No, I
was he wearing a Leatherman jacket, Back to the Future shirt?
He was old. He was, I mean, definitely older. Like,
yeah.
He could be all our grandpas.
Yeah,
he could grandpa level.
Yeah.
So it does amaze me that some people in this business maybe are a little naive to the internet and how powerful it is and how popular maybe like a website like your guys's forums like Blowout and Freedom Cardboard and Sports Card Forum and all these other places that get a tremendous amount of traffic through trading and through just interacting and communicating and stuff. So I think sometimes people get, I even tweeted that today, I think sometimes people get a little jaded and they don't understand how powerful the internet is. And I can see the perspective of the hobby shop. I mean, I went broke having my own hobby shop back a few years ago. So I understand how hard it is, and your margins are absolutely zero. You're buying a box for 70 and you're selling it for 75. And how are you going to live off that? You know, you'd have to sell a million boxes a month to even come close. So,
all right, man.
There is definitely a divide. I think there always will be a little bit of divide, and I don't think it's as easy as saying, well, these hobby shops that are not on the internet, they need to get on the internet, because as you guys know, it's not everybody can start a website.
Right,
not everybody
right.
has that technical knowledge and that ability, and it takes a lot of time, and to do it right, you've got to really plan it out like you guys have. So, you know, the internet and kind of that the sports card side of the internet is just going to continue to grow. I mean, that's unquestioned, no matter what happens, no matter what these manufacturers try to do with distribution and trying to save some of these hobby shops. It's not going to happen. The internet's huge. Everybody's shopping on the internet, and that number is just going to grow. The amount of people who are going to have smartphones, that's going to quintuple.
Right,
and
exactly.
Then you know, 10, 20 years ago, not that many people had a cell phone. And now everybody has a cell phone. In about 10 years, everybody's going to have a smartphone and be able to access the internet and be able to jump on and watch a box break and jump in on a box break and so forth. So that's just going to continue. And obviously shopping and spending money is just going to keep growing.
Right.
So I would not try to, you know, hold it down.
Just go for it and embrace
just
it.
Just embrace
I mean,
it.
And work with it. I mean, you don't have to go full bore in that direction, but, like, you know, don't alienate it.
Right.
Like, take it as a tool and use it.
Definitely.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of opportunities for everybody, and it's almost like you're right. It's a generational thing. You had that guy who was a little bit older, and you know, when he was in his 20s and 30s, there was no internet.
Right.
So now he's been set in his ways for 30 years, and
there might be something new comes along when we're that age. It's like, right. We're not going to change either.
Right, right.
But, you know, you definitely have to change and adapt and try out new technology.
Hopefully they make the Back to the Future hoverboard at some point.
I know. I've been waiting for it. I'm on the waiting
list.
Did they say that was going to come out in the early 2000s? What the fuck's my hoverboard?
It's funny to watch old movies where they have what they perceive the future is going to be like, and it's so totally off. Like if you watch a movie from the 70s or something, it's like not
the
even
Jetsons,
close.
Yeah. Flying cars and
the houses are all elevated above the clouds and stuff. It's craziness. So on like a what stuff do you collect? You know, on a get to know the,
let's
the
see.
Person here.
What do I collect? You know the things I collect. I have some game card wise. I wouldn't say I collect a whole lot of cards, but I really like autographed memorabilia, game used memorabilia.
Jerseys.
I bought. I go to a lot of minor league games, so I have several minor league jerseys that are signed and game used, and have dirt down the front of them. From
that's awesome.
When he slid into second, and then you go on the field after the game and you meet him, and these jerseys end up being only like $80 to $100, and you literally go down and talk to Michael Choice and get a picture with him. And some of these guys might never, probably a lot of them will never make it, but some of them might. And I'm going to have a keepsake for the rest of my life: a jersey, a hat. I've got like 3 or 4 New Era hats, game used with sweat stains on the brim. Custom-made New Era caps that these guys wore during the game, and then they sign them after the game, and I get it. So those are the type of things that I like to get and kind of just hoard. And
well, yeah, because you'd have to collect 200 jersey cards to get like a full jersey, and then cutting them out,
I could do
and
that.
Together.
We should try that one.
And then trying to find the exact jersey to fit the stitching. It might
we
be
should
kind
try
of
that.
Do a quilt.
Well, with the amount of product you guys open, you probably could like, put together a little thing there.
That'd be pretty funny. So other than that, I mean, is there anything else? I mean, tell everybody how they can find you guys. I mean, obviously, sportscardradio.com.
You can come to sportscardradio.com. My brother, Colin, who hosts the Sports Card Show podcast, you can look that up on iTunes. Probably just type in Sports Card Show or Sports Card Radio.
Sports Cards come up first.
And wow.
Did you do?
Great. How did that happen?
Because you guys are killer.
Because you're paying $30,000
to Google. I don't know. Yeah.
$30,000
to iTunes. To Apple, yeah.
Boy, if I had that kind of money, if I had that budget, oh, my Lord. Wow. I could just like, front you guys. You guys could just open like, Google AdWords? Are you kidding me? Like, not, I'm not clowning on Beckett. They do unbelievable things for it, and they do way more than I could ever dream of doing on a website like my own. So I'm not trashing them. I just think $30,000 is I can't wrap my head around it. But
I would like to see. Well, they wouldn't let it be public how much revenue they made, but you know, kind of minus the $30,000 every month. You know,
they have somebody looking at the books that is justifying it. So
yeah,
it has to be.
It's gotta be.
It's gotta be working somehow.
Definitely.
Yep.
Definitely.
Gotta be.
Cool. Well, and then you guys got the Twitter, too. So
Twitter, my brother tweets under Sports Card Radio, and then I tweet under Sports Card News. Now, normally, I actually don't tweet Sports Card News, per se. I'm not going to – you're not going to follow me and like, read, like, every single breaking news. Well, this week I was on the ball and started tweeting from here, but normally I'm tweeting pictures at minor league baseball games of Michael Choice and Manny Ramirez when he comes to Stockton this year. I think he's going to be there.
Nice.
So I'm, like, you know, tweeting pictures of Gary Brown and like, prospects that you'll find in Bowman Sterling and Bowman and those cards. I go watch these guys and tweet pictures of them and say, hey, go buy their cards. So that's kind of – you can follow me on Twitter, but – it says Sports Card News, but don't expect much Sports Card News. go to my Sports Card Radio for all that and all your other Beckett and Cardboard Connection and the forums and that sort of thing if you really want Sports Card News feeded to you on a daily basis.
But, yeah, or put in hashtag Industry Summit, you'll get all your
tweets. Yes, yeah, and everybody else, a lot of people are using that hashtag. So if you go to Twitter, hashtag Industry Summit. Hopefully I spelt it right every time I hashtag.
I think I found it. I was spelling
it
wrong.
It was all good, yeah.
So
yeah, he pretty much chronicled like every event, so he was on top
of it. I tried.
They must be paying you to do that.
I had to pay 20. To get here. and last night at the table, I lost a couple hundred too, so it's like, wow, this has been an expensive trip.
Cool, well, that about does it. Thanks for coming on the show.
No, thanks,
and,
guys.
Once again, sportscardradio.com. Awesome site.
You guys can point the finger at him. You can talk about the vacation. And if you do that, it's really unfair. It's really unfair. It's my team. It's my quarterback. And if you guys do that, man, it's unfair. We lost as a team.
Tracy Hackler from Panini America. Want to talk about some Summit stuff, some new exciting product. How you doing, Tracy?
Doing well, man. Thank you guys for having me on.
No problem. We just talked to Jason, but we wanted to find out your background in the hobby. What got you started and how long you've been in it? And
well, it's a circuitous journey, but you know, like many of us, I collected when I was 6, 7, 8 years old. That was a long time ago.
Yep.
Back in the mid-70s. And I collected with my brother and grew up as a collector. And then I was going to college so many years later, and I was a journalism major.
Nice.
And I was in the Dallas area, which is where Beckett, at the time, Beckett called Beckett Publication was.
Right.
I got an editorial internship there, and that was in the summer of 95, and it's been a journey. I was at Beckett for 5 years. I went to Donruss for 4, back to Beckett for 6, and then I've been at Panini America for about 16 months, and
nice.
it's been a fantastic journey, and I'm thankful every day I get to do what I get to do.
Definitely. Well, it seems like you're the face of the franchise, so to speak, and put the franchise tag on you, right?
Yeah,
just like if it was
right.
Football. You know, off the record, what do you think about this Tebow thing, man? I'm surprised. I know Tebow's your guy.
Man, I'm torn because, you know, I've never been in such a sports love triangle as this, because my oldest son's middle name is Elway, so I'm a huge Elway guy.
Yeah.
I'm a solo Bronco guy, but I'm also a Tebow guy. And Elway can't get rid of Tebow fast enough.
Right.
So I'm torn that way. So I don't know. I mean, I just hope. I'm extremely thrilled that we have Peyton Manning as a Bronco.
Yeah, I bet.
That's
cool.
That is
yeah.
awesome.
It's
That's
almost like they could coexist, have two quarterback sets or something, you know?
Right. Yeah, so Elway's going to move him. I don't know where. You know, I'd like to see him end up at a place that can utilize him or appreciate him, but New England, Jacksonville, or whatever. But, I mean, I'll still be a Bronco fan. I'll have a Peyton Manning Bronco jersey next year, and I'll probably have a Tim Tebow Jaguars
jersey.
There
you go. Yeah, there
too.
You go.
So,
or he might even become a Niner, too,
as
I've heard.
What are the Super Bowl odds for the Broncos? Well, it went from, like, 71 to
7, yeah, it was 45-1 as of, like, the 1st of March, at least in this casino. Mm-hmm. It was 45-1. Now it's 8-1.
Wow.
And
Peyton, man.
Yeah, I mean, it speaks volumes about how legendary that guy is.
Definitely.
So it's exciting.
They got a good coaching staff. They got John Fox, and, you know.
Yeah, and he's going to let Peyton run the offense.
Yeah.
And
Demaryius Thomas, watch out for that guy.
Yeah.
Eric Decker.
Eric Decker will be – I mean, look, it's moves like that, both Peyton Manning's move and then wherever Tebow goes are good for the football card industry, too.
I was just going to ask you that, yeah.
It creates a lot of excitement in those markets. I mean, I don't know if you guys are aware, but last week, having fun with the whole Manning sweepstakes, we mocked up using our 2012 Prestiges.
Yeah, yeah.
And we put them in Titans, Broncos, 49ers, Dolphins, and one other, Cardinals.
Right.
Yes.
And man, the mainstream media just jumped all over that stuff. So cool. That's really exciting. That, and that's indicative of the kind of excitement a move like that will have on the hobby. So
yeah, that was so a nice a Photoshop thing. Move. Whoever did that,
it was the great Bob Grinke in our pre-press department.
Because I was like, I know they didn't have Peyton come on and put on all the unis and.
Well, and you know, Bob is really like detailed about that stuff. So he took all those are Peyton Manning's bodies and arms and heads and stuff. He took the time to mock those up for cars that don't exist. So it's fun.
Yeah, cool. Definitely. What's the best thing you've taken away from the summit so far? I know we still got this day and tomorrow, mm-hmm. but what's the best thing you've taken?
Well, I think meeting guys like you that we haven't met before, and just interacting with people who around the year are keeping us in business and supporting us and trying to support those folks. So just talking about things that we can do together to kind of help grow the industry more and engage our customers. And, you know, it's just the people are what make this industry so special to me.
Yeah, it's definitely a tight-knit industry, I got to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
So, and then talk about some of the products that you guys are coming out with maybe in the next month or two some of the features that might set themselves apart from competitors or other Panini products. For that
obviously, it'll be a busy couple of weeks for 2011 football, as oddly as that sounds, with the draft next month. But we have, I guess, three late-season, hopefully blockbusters in the mix with Totally Certified.
Yeah.
As a first time we've done that in football.
Yeah.
That'll have the debut
HRX
of HRX.
Cards. Yeah, yeah, that's awesome.
With Cam Newton and Mark Ingram, and those things were phenomenal in basketball.
Yeah.
Another thing that just generated huge mainstream interest. So we're expecting similar results there. The cards themselves with the micro etch, if you go to our blog, you can check them out. But, man, the cards are just mesmerizing just to look at them, even the base cards.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about that product. Then we have National Treasures, which is one of our biggest products.
Cream of the crop in the industry, in my case. I mean, we busted it last year. It is absolutely the enjoyable. It's the best product to break by far.
Yeah.
I mean, it's basically all killer, no filler.
It's just so fun, too.
It's so fun. I mean, you get everything in there. You got, cut autos, and you got just, rookie patch autos. Uh-huh. I mean, just amazing stuff.
Well, what we talked about, because we do reviews on our podcast mm-hmm. and things like that, and we just reviewed, and I don't expect you to speak on competitors, but I'll just bring it up with Five Star. It seemed like, they're very similar to your National Treasures mm-hmm. products. And what we were kind of shocked at is Topps had, all the same design on all the cards, whether it's when you deal with the Panini product, there's a lot of unexpected stuff coming through.
Right.
And that's what we like about National
There's a
Treasures.
Lot of subsets. And there's a lot really, more subsets. Really cool stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot of variety to it. Yeah. And I guess I was on my way here maybe when they packed it out back in Dallas, but one of our guys in the office there, Kevin Hake, was over at the plant. He was taking pictures and shooting them back, and we were doing a gallery on the blog. But yeah, just the variety of of patches and designs. And
mm-hmm. I mean, you could open 10 boxes. I mean, not a whole lot of people have that kind of right. money, but right. We see that because we're doing the breaks. But you could, by the 10th box, you could see a car you haven't seen.
Exactly.
And that's what's kind of great about the variety of stuff
question.
You can get.
Yeah, the patches are absolutely amazing, though. The rookie patch autos, I mean, last year, I think we pulled a Ryan Matthews, full lightning bolt.
Yeah.
I mean, just amazing.
And all those are hand-picked. I mean, our guys hand-picked those because, obviously, that's a high-quality product, and you need to deliver high-quality value whenever possible.
Yeah. Exactly.
And speaking of jersey pieces, we've always wondered, just because we see so much more product than a lot of people mm-hmm. because we're doing cases every other day, or we were wondering, how many rookie premier jerseys do these guys wear on average?
That's a good question. It's probably, because it's changes from year to year, and it may change this year as we made a vow here at the summit that 2012 will have more autographs and less memorabilia hits.
Right.
But anywhere from 6 to 10 to 12.
Oh, okay.
And then they put on each one. Look, we try to pull the wool over no one's eyes when it comes to event use.
Oh, yes. Yeah, absolutely.
We know we're out front with where it's used, how it's used. But it is a way to get us from the early season to have rookie memorabilia in until we have the chance to acquire actually game-worn stuff.
Sure. And we watched the presentation and the logistics of getting guys to sign, guys to get jerseys and stuff like that. It's really hard to do and
absolutely.
To pull it off. And that's why we understand, and you guys coming out and saying, that's why product delays, half of it's really not your guys' fault. It's guys playing football, he has to practice. I'm sure he has a wife and kids and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So that's a huge deal. And we get people complaining. It's like,
you know, plates and patches got pushed back again. It's like, well, they don't want to put 15 redemptions in every case or whatever, you know. So, you know,
yeah, it speaks to volumes. While we're talking about memorabilia, there is one product that we opened this year that I thought was a really, really cool idea, and I think we talked about it on our podcast, Timeless Treasures. Mm-hmm. You guys dated the memorabilia from an actual game. That's amazing. I mean, that is just a really, really innovative idea.
Good step,
And I think that's going in a great direction. It's hard. I mean, I know on your guys' end, that's got to be difficult to keep track of all that. But is that something you guys think you may be doing in the future?
I sure hope so. That was one of the things I liked the most about Timeless Treasures. I mean, look, that product wasn't a home run by any means, but that aspect of it, I'm glad you appreciated that, because a lot of people will see those jersey cards and think, oh, I got another red swatch.
Right.
But if you look at it, you know, when he wore it, what year, what he did in that game.
Yeah.
And that's huge.
It's amazing. I mean, and even if it's not like multicolored or whatnot, you can look at that and go, shit, I was at that game.
Yeah,
right.
Like absolutely.
That means more than what the price is on the card or what it's numbered to. It doesn't
even matter. There's intrinsic value there that might get lost on the secondary market, but to a fan.
It's priceless.
Yep.
Yeah. And I thought that was absolutely just an amazing idea. And I hope that's something that continues.
I'm right there with you. I mean, I think any chance we have to do that, we certainly will.
Yeah.
Now, we kind of threw around the ideas of maybe, like, getting tickets from games, you know, and it's like Cam Newton's first game, you get tickets. I don't know if the logistics are hard to get ticket stubs, but, that you know, having players sign tickets, that might be an awesome
idea. Yeah, absolutely. There have been some experiments with that kind of in the past, but I think to your point, when a guy like Cam or Andy throws his first touchdown or scores his first rushing touchdown, whatever, that would be a cool thing, and we could fit those into a card pretty easily.
Yeah, you could maybe get three cards out of a ticket or whatever.
It kind of puts like an interesting like time stamp on it. So
it does.
Yeah. It's very, very cool.
Because we see the market on eBay just people selling like World Series tickets, you know, and things like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, so.
Yeah.
But, you know, they talked about it. Now, you know, when you get sticker autos from products, I mean, you guys give these guys a deadline as far as...
Yeah, I mean, we try to have them turn around. You know, we have a different person kind of in charge of each sport in terms of acquisitions for autographs. You know, as clear as we are to the players, hey, we need these back. And now when we do a late season, a surge of late season products now, we've got all these on-card autographs for like three or four products. And we're sending the player, you know. I mean, Playbook is a perfect example because it's a thicker, it's a book card.
Right.
And so when you're sending a player 100 cards, well, that could be a 30-pound box because the cards are so big and thick and it's got memorabilia in it. So many times the players would get like, what in the world are they sending me? And they just look at it and say,
corner
I'm not going to do that. That's too much. When they open it up and they say, oh, okay, it's only 100 cards. But, we try to give them deadlines.
Is there any bribing going on? Like, hey, man, we'll send you a box of, you know, National Treasures, or you know, if you sign that one more day, you know, get it out.
If they appreciated that as much,
I know.
We during the Super Bowl, in Indianapolis, we had an event with Pop Warner. We're the official trading card of Pop Warner.
Nice.
And so we had Von Miller, Andy Dalton, and Case Keenum there as kind of guest coaches of these Pop Warner kids.
Mm-hmm.
But we told Von, hey, you're not going to come here until you finish all your outstanding cards.
Right.
And he was great. He goes, he's a good dude anyway.
Yeah,
he hurt his hand, you know, during the season, so he had a few cards that were lagging behind, but he was awesome. So we do kind of quote-unquote bribe the guys with that.
And do you have guys, like, just come down to Panini?
Absolutely,
We saw the Andy Dalton photos
Andy Dalton
Panini America.
There,
so, Andy Dalton, anytime those guys come, we try to grab video interview with them. We had DeMarco Murray in.
Nice.
A lot of hockey players, Jeremy Curley came in the office. Dalton has been in the office. So, we prefer those guys to come in. And we also, we I don't know, a month ago, Joe White, who's our NFL autograph acquisitions guy, he goes, late Thursday night, he calls, he goes, oh, by the way, I'm going to Deion Sanders' house in the morning to get him to sign like 30 cards.
Yeah.
You want to go? And I'm like, yeah. So we
meeting Deion,
He lives not far from us, and we drove over there and had an autograph signing with him. We've done that with Irvin. Anytime we have a chance to really interact with the player, we like to do that.
Kind of on a silly level, but have you ever gotten any on-card back with, like, I got spaghetti sauce on it, maybe sign it at the dinner
table? Man, we used to get it, you know, more and more now. Very fair question. But more and more now, there's the education level is a lot higher because we try to talk to the players at the rookie premiere every year, saying, hey, here's what we do, here's why we do what we do, here's what we would appreciate from you.
Right.
So you don't see that as much, but back in the day, man, guys would just throw rubber bands around their cards and throw them in a loose box and send them back. And then, so when that happens, we have decisions to make.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do we remake the cards because all of them have a ding corner? Do we just pull them out of production?
Right, right.
And if they're redemptions, goodness gracious, we have to remake them because.
Right. Yeah.
So, but there's guys who sign the backs of cards or the wrong spots, and we're really detailed. We send great big images of, you know, sign here. Real
right,
big,
right,
you know,
right.
A neon sign kind of flashing. And for whatever reason, because these guys are so used to signing that they're probably not even thinking about it.
Right.
They're
right.
Like autopilot, so they sign and they'll sign and. We'll get 20 out of a 50 run that are all signed on the back or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Now we,
but that would be an eBay 101 for somebody,
yeah,
I'm sure.
Well, there's somewhere out there, I don't know, 3 years ago, we did the cards in Prestige with the rubber helmet decals.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, at least one player, those cards are dual signed because he signed, we sent him the cards without the helmet
on there, yeah.
We didn't know where he was going at that time.
Yeah.
So he signed in the helmet area. And so then we had to put the helmet
on top of it.
So we had to send him the cards back so we could sign in the right area. So,
nice.
So I'm not encouraging people to go and tear those labels off, but 2009 rookie class, there are some dual signed cards there.
Nice.
People are looking for them.
I'm sure.
Digging
yeah,
through
yeah,
the collection.
Yeah. Make a YouTube how-to video or something on how to signing etiquette or something, right?
Yes.
And if we can have you talk a little bit about your blog, The Knights Lance.
Yeah, you know, that's one of the things I was most excited about when I came over from Beckett. Jason Howarth, that you guys talked to, is a fantastic guy. He's
definitely.
He's my boss, and that was his kind of his vision. We want to get our blog to the point where it's our mouthpiece.
Yeah.
And we like to pull the curtain back on the processes, the printing, the autograph signings, redemptions. I mean, we try to put everything there so it's a clearinghouse. All that stuff is out, fed into Twitter and Facebook, and
right.
It's a really invaluable tool for us now to get the word out to our customers on what we're doing. And then it's also been sourced by, you know, Deadspin or ESPN or SI.com
yeah,
for some stuff. So it's been wildly successful for us.
Definitely. I mean, social media is where it's at, and it's
no
only going to get bigger. You know,
no question.
So, you know, on a personal level, who's your favorite autograph? You know, if you're collecting, who's your guy or who has the nicest autograph?
Man, we just did a gap. I'm not just pimping our new stuff here, but my favorite autograph is probably John Elway's.
Yeah.
Or Tim Tebow's, nice, not surprisingly.
One. Yeah.
Tebow's a little bit different, but, you know, John Elway is from that era where, like, if you look at Dan Marino's autograph or Jim Kelly's or Warren Moon's, man, they're all real nice and bold.
Yeah.
And that kind of segues into my Prime Cuts baseball story. I did a gallery on those of some recent arrivals. And, you know, Ryan Sandberg and Steve Carlton and Frank Thomas, just real nice, beautiful, bold. I mean, those guys get it.
Yeah.
And when you talk, like when I talked to Dion, I said, man, you got a nice autograph. Why is that so important to you? And he goes, because people pay a lot of money
for my autograph.
And they
awesome.
Deserve the
yeah.
best.
Yeah, absolutely.
And when I hear that, and you know all the older guys think that, man, it just makes it all worth it, you know?
Yeah, because we see a lot of autographs, and I mean, I don't want to call any players out, but back, like, I think a couple years ago, it was Verane Morency.
Oh, yeah, with the check mark.
Yeah, yeah.
Check.
He,
oh,
he yeah. started with, you know, you could see his first autos, he at least had the M on there, and then it became a check mark, and then it was just a little V, and it's like, I know they sign a lot, and maybe you start getting carpal
yeah,
tunnel,
but even that, that was a case where we actually talked to the Players Association and said, come on, man.
Yeah.
You know, just give us more than that.
I mean, because I'm sure if he you know, ever becomes a top running back in the NFL, it'd be pretty easy to fake his, you know, for people that fake his autos.
It's
autos,
also their,
you know,
name. Their name. It's a sense of pride. It's their brand.
Yeah,
right.
I mean,
exactly.
You think they would want to, you know, put a little effort into it. But, you know, like you said, I think a lot of the older school guys really get that.
Yeah.
They understand.
No
yeah.
question about it.
This is coming from a guy who signs, it looks like a monkey with the coconut and, you know,
it's branding, man. It's branding.
It's his mark, right?
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
his mark.
Looks killer.
A bunch of squiggly awesome. Lines. But I won't take too much more of your time, but did you play any slots or blackjack while you're here
know
in Vegas?
What? That's another great story about how this whole Bronco thing has affected me. When I come to Vegas every year, I usually put a bet down on them winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, when I arrived Sunday, things were hairy. I was going to do it Monday.
Oh.
So the odds between Sunday, before they signed Peyton, and now, it was
yeah, yeah.
I don't know, 80 to 1 to 8-1 or whatever.
You almost start your own car company if you place a big enough bet on those.
So I didn't bet on that. I'm not a big slot guy. I did a 14 parlay today. We'll see how that works out tomorrow. But
nice. I think we're going to do something like a 6 or 8 team.
Yeah.
Get crazy.
Yeah.
Did the over on the Mavericks game last night, and I did the under on the Warriors, and I won on that one.
Nice. That's
even though the over was 205, and I'm like, what was I thinking? I'm like, did I really pick the over on that?
What was the final in that game?
It was like
it worked out to 207 though.
Yeah, 207.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's sweet.
Yeah,
dude.
I think Dirk went for like 40 something. So
nice.
That guy's amazing.
The statisticians are just amazing on how pinpoint
they got it.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. How many times the NFL game will be at the line will be 3.5 and the team will win by 3?
It's like
unbelievable.
It is
amazing. It's a science,
you know?
Man. It's a science.
They absolutely have it down to a science. Absolutely.
All right, so the Black Box has got a lot of buzz here at Summit 2012.
Yeah.
And, you know, we wanted to know what Panini's thought process was behind it. I know this is, what, your second or third year doing it?
Well, we've been doing Black Boxes actually since, like, 2002.
Oh, wow, okay.
But they seem to have picked up a lot of momentum and esteem over the last few years. But we, look, I think it's one way for us to indicate our appreciation for the people here who help us do what we do. And Scott Perusha back in our office does a fantastic job, and it's actually he spends good chunks of time hand picking everything, you know, just hand assembling everything
right
so that everyone has that cool experience.
And the showroom was excited. I mean, we had people falling asleep, and then once the Black Box came out,
that was the buzz.
I thought people were gonna push me down trying to get to it.
We don't wrote on the blog that we, because right about that time is when news of Manning going to the Broncos spread.
Right.
So there's a little buzz on the floor.
Yeah.
But the only thing that could have topped that buzz was the Black Box thing.
Yeah.
We did a gallery on our blog, and you guys are on the gallery.
Yeah, so we are.
So just
my big head is on the gallery.
Let your people know that you guys are in living color there with your pool. So
yeah, we appreciate that. That was awesome.
We actually did R2 on YouTube. And promoted it as well. So we got the video up there.
Yeah, we broke it here, right in the showroom floor.
Well, that's awesome. Well, you have one more now to use to entice your members. So.
Exactly. And they were great. Panini was generous enough to give us a Black Box. We're going to have a contest. So details will be on the site as well and at the end of this podcast on how you're going to be able to get yourself a Black Box.
Sweet, yeah. Man. That's
very
awesome.
Cool.
Gratis.
People win. People win.
Free 99.
Thank you, Tracy. Thank you, Panini.
You too could own a 101.
Break. Thank you, guys, man.
Awesome, man.
All right. Well, those were some awesome interviews. I'd like to thank all three of those dudes for sitting down with Mojo Break and, you know, giving you guys some info about, you know, what they do and what their products are coming out for Panini, and Ryan for saying his background and some exciting stuff coming up for sportscardradio.com. So I'm stoked on all that stuff. And it's just amazing how genuine they were, and everybody that we ran into.
I mean, there's some amazing information in there. That's just stuff that you just don't get.
Yeah, and just running into, Brad from Cardboard Connection last night.
Yeah.
Just a genuine guy.
Absolutely.
Just honest, you know, and just some cool people. So, but what we wanted to get, without further ado, we want to tell you what's going down.
What is going down?
So what it is, Panini was super generous since they came on the podcast. They wanted to give back to the listeners, the people that go to mojobreak.com, and what were they giving away? I mean, it's ridiculous. I should have a drum roll.
Did we have we talked about the Panini Black Box? Have we talked about what it is?
It is limited to what, 400 boxes?
I would say maybe 400.
Every card in the box is a one of one, except for the Trent Richardson auto, which is from 2012 Prestige.
Yeah, I know somebody who got one.
I know a dude as well, good dude. And you can get, I think Andrew Luck has an NFL Shield card
Andrew
from
Luck,
Prestige.
There's Newton patch autos. There's Blake Griffin.
These are one of ones.
Oh, yeah, I mean we're talking
anybody who's anybody.
This could be I can almost guarantee you, no matter what is in there, it's gonna be $50 to $100 card. Minimum probably can go up to like $4,000 or $5,000.
Yes, yeah, you have the possibility of, because there's Sidney Crosby so we're talking about basketball.
There's some legends. I mean, there's some. I mean,
look it up on eBay. It's super rare. There's not a whole lot of stuff that's.
Yeah, you'll find it right now. You'll find some cards up there.
You'll find some cards up there. I mean, we're talking. There was a Joe Montana 101. Somebody's got up there. Somebody had a Deion Sanders 101. So this is like super exciting, and it's free. So all you got to do is sign up for Mojo Break's mailing list. So mojobreak.com, if you scroll down on the left, there'll be a little thing that says free stuff, and just sign up for it. That's all you got to do. And that's not it.
Now we're talking over each other.
We're so excited.
So excited we're talking over each other, Bush League style. But this may be the strongest free promotion we ever do.
Yeah, I don't know if we can ever top that.
I don't know if we can.
Maybe Benchwarmer Girls.
Maybe. Or maybe like a we did like a free case of National Treasures or something, like a full case. Don't mark my words. We're going to have to, you know, get a little bit bigger before we do that, because that's going to be some coin.
Edit that out.
No,
just kidding. But yeah, Free Summit Black Box. Free Summit Black Box. We're giving it away.
We're giving it away.
We're giving it. Well, Panini's giving it away.
They
gave it to us to give to you guys.
Yeah, and, so, and basically Panini's just saying thanks.
Saying thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for buying Panini products.
Yep.
Thanks for dealing with Doug and Dan from Mojo Break.
Listening to the podcast. And that it just doesn't stop there, because there's also going to be exclusive private signings from the Pop Warner Super Bowl event this year that Panini threw. And we're talking about three autos. We're talking about a defensive rookie of the year.
It's a four by six.
So it's a little, it's not a card, but these are super rare. They're Panini authenticated.
Yep.
We're going to start from the, my opinion, the bottom to the top of what we got. We got a Case Keenum, which is the NCAA leader in, I think, yards, touchdowns. He has like every record.
Played a couple years.
He's played a few years. So we got Case Keenum. You have Defensive Rookie of the Year, Von Miller. 4x6 private signings. We'll have pictures on the side of these cards.
That is a sharp-looking auto right there.
It is. It's a little bit bigger than you're going to get on a card.
And that was the second one you said.
Yeah.
So you're telling me that there's one more.
Yes.
That is bigger than that.
There's one more bigger than that, and it is Andy Dalton. It's a private signing, Andy Dalton, 4x6.
And these are killer-looking cards, on-card autos, Panini.
On photo, maybe?
On photo. Yeah.
It probably wouldn't be considered a card.
It definitely is photo. It's photo, the back of the card. It's photo.
But it's Panini authenticated, and it's an event that was rare. It's got the Super Bowl logo because it coincided with that weekend. So Tracy Hackler and Jason, awesome for giving this to us. We're excited.
Giving it to you guys.
Exactly. Giving back. So, you know, even though you couldn't get a black box, you may be able to buy one on eBay. Who knows? But you got a chance. All you got to do is mojobreak.com. Go free stuff on the side. And what's going to go down is this going to coincide with a break party, and we're going to have more free stuff for that as well.
Oh, yeah. We're just getting crazy.
So what we're going to do is it's going to be Friday, April 13th. So mark your calendars. It's about 3 weeks from now.
We're giving you a little time to get ready. Get psyched.
And
tell your friends.
You know, sign up on the website to get into this promo. You know, if you don't get the black box, we're going to have all kinds of free stuff, too. It's going to be a break night. We're going to have other products that came out that are coming out. So April 13th, 7 p.m., check the link.
It's going to be some good stuff. Last time we went a little heavy on the football. I think we're going to mix it up, do a little more baseball.
Yep.
But it's going to be pretty fresh.
Yeah, it's going to be April 13th, 7 p.m. Pacific, blogtv.com/people/mojobreak. So, and if you can't write that down, or you're in your car or working out, go on mojobreak.com. All the links are there. Mark it down. We'll also have, you know, if you want to buy into a break, we'll be doing some impromptu breaks at night as well.
Absolutely.
So join the event.
It's going to be a little more structured than it was last time, just to give you a heads up.
It will, but, you know, we went through so much product the last free break night that it's going to be something similar to it. So it's even if you don't, just come for the free stuff. I mean, that's literally what it is. Yeah, I mean, we want to give this away.
We're going to be giving free cards away, doing free breaks at least probably a couple free breaks.
Yeah, and I'm super excited. I want to know what's in that black box.
Oh, yeah.
Right now. It's like literally sitting 2 feet from me right now, and I just, you know, I'm trying my hardest not to just ravage through it like a savage.
Savage.
So, but that ends this podcast. Thank you for downloading. I'd like to thank Jason Howarth, Ryan Tadards, and Tracy Hackler for coming on the show. That was awesome of them to take time out of their super busy day.
Like I said, super busy, but they took the time and just absolutely some of the coolest dudes.
And follow these guys on Twitter. Absolutely. You got at Sports Card News, at Sports Card Radio for Ryan. You have just look up Tracy Hackler. I don't know exactly his Twitter handle.
I think it's at Tracy
Hackler. At Tracy Hackler. And Jason Howarth has his Twitter as well. You can find all that stuff on the Knights Lance, which I'm sure you guys already use.
Absolutely. But very informative blog.
It is. And it has previews of these products. You can see the black box preview to get you a little bit more excited.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And you can see mine, my big head, and Dan's little head on the gallery of what we pulled out of our personal black boxes.
Yep.
And we have the YouTube video too. But other than that, man, guys, gals, anybody who's listening, thanks for tuning in. We're out for 15. We'll see you around on 16, and we'll see you for that free break night.
Later.
MojoBreak.com.